Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, joined by ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport. Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And it is time to talk to TD, giving you your chance out there. If you have questions for Teron Davenport, could be Titans, could be NFL, could be anything, you get those in at 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lots of good stuff on the phone lines today. Let's start with Thomas on a car phone on our text line. He says, at this point, I think we need to start looking for the next coach. I know it may sound crazy, but what about bringing John Gruden in? He is hungry to get back to coaching, and he would probably bring in established coordinators, not just hiring his high school buddies. Thanks, guys. TD, your thoughts?
Yeah, the Gruden conversation is one I've seen throughout Titans Twitter, so it's only natural that it makes it here. I mean, that's a tough question, right? I don't know. That's one to really think about, right? And I know Gruden, hey, the Bucs won a Super Bowl with him, et cetera, et cetera. Now, of course, that was Tony Dungy's team, but, you know, that's a different conversation. I think, if anything, it would definitely bring experience and the possibility for some stability, as long as, like, he could, you know what I mean, keep it right, keep right. It tight. But I don't know that I would rush to do that one. I think they might need, because I wonder if there's a disconnect, right? He and Cam Ward. You know, yeah. I think they might need that younger, and that's why Cliff Kingsbury seems like such a natural fit.
Yeah.
But, you know, would he come here? That's the whole thing, because he's going to be a hot commodity.
We were going through this on Tuesday of, there are kind of three names that are out there right now if you're looking for an offensive-minded head coach. Kingsbury's one, and I think he's kind of the happy medium between these, because you could go Joe Brady, but he's never been a head coach, but he's probably the hottest offensive coordinator out there. And then you could go to the other end of Mike McCarthy, who's older, experienced, but he's out of the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
He does have the Chad Brinker connection. I think those are the three names that you kind of look at when it comes to, again, Brian Callahan's still here right now, but if the Titans were to go for an offensive head coach again.
Yeah, and I think when you look at McCarthy, that's another situation where it's like, is he going to be out of touch with Cam Ward? You know what I mean? And so it's like, okay, if you bring in a McCarthy, you'll definitely want to have a younger OC, you know, or a quarterback. Like, you got to have some type of median that will be able to be like that mid-ground, you know, to relay
right.
between the two. Now, I tell you another guy that you look at ties to the front office, Matt Nagy, right?
Yeah.
Now,
right.
Obviously, the Chiefs aren't the hottest thing right now, but there are ties to Borgonzi. And then also you're looking at a guy who has head coaching experience, obviously, you know, with the Bears. Now, we know that didn't go well.
It didn't end well, but people forget he had that team rolling for a little bit there.
Yeah, initially. So, I mean, you know, that is something to look at as well. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Very
as of
much
now,
so.
Brian Callahan is the head coach. But obviously those are some options if the Titans did make a move to move on. I saw this earlier, and I mentioned this to you off the air, TD. Jeff, when talking about the Jarvis Brownlee trade, says, so the Titans made another A.J. Brown trade, and it's an overreaction. I would compare this more to the Doriel Green Beckham trade of like, hey, this is a guy who there's talent there, but clearly needs a change of scenery. Jarvis was more productive than DGB was, but I would have loved to see the Titans get a player back instead of that pick swap. And you mentioned Brandon Stevens, a guy that hasn't really worked out with New York. Doesn't have to be a cornerback, but go get a guy who maybe you could bring in and he can add some depth to this team instead of just moving up 30 picks at the end of day three of the draft.
Yeah, and look, Brandon Stevens, that would be a good opportunity for the Jets to offload money. The Titans obviously can afford it. He's a guy that signed, I think it was a 3-year, $36 million deal. And it just hasn't panned out.
Yeah.
Like they overpaid for him. But here's the other thing, too, why that would have worked out. Because remember, If I'm not mistaken, he was in Baltimore when Denard Wilson was there. I have to double check it.
Yes, I believe so.
You know, I think when you look at those things, like there, it would make sense, you know, but nevertheless, it didn't happen. I still think that it would be good to be able to – yeah, he was there.
He was, yes.
Yeah, I think it would be good to be able to, you know, get some type of player instead of the 30 picks. Like, it just – this just screamed, hey, I've taken all I can and I can't take any more. You know what I mean?
Please take him. Like, that's kind of what it looks like. Because in terms of – return that you can get in a trade, it's about as low as you can get. I'll give you a seventh, you give me a sixth, then we'll call it even. Like, that's it's basically nothing. Yes, the Jets will probably be picking towards the top of the sixth round. You could be picking one and two in the sixth round with your pick and the Jets pick now. But obviously not a great return for Jarvis Brownlee, who is a starting quarterback on this team. We'll get away from football here. Justin from Greenbrier asks, and we've been talking about music a lot this morning, how eclectic is your music taste, TD?
Diverse.
How far do you go?
Yeah, well, look, man, Justin, I'm a huge Freddie Mercury fan, right? I love Teddy Pendergrass, as you could tell. Prince. It's very diverse. You know, I love The Doors. I tell you, interesting story, what made me start really loving classic rock music was going to the Hard Rock Cafe, right? Like, I have a thing, every city I go to, and when I was married, I used to, every time if we would go to a city together, we'll make sure we go to a Hard Rock. But then when we visited separate, we would always make sure that we bought a pin. Like, my ex-wife has a whole bunch of pins from all over, whether it's London, you know, everywhere, you know what I mean? So long story short, sitting in there and just feeling the vibe of the music playing and everything going around, and you're like, dang, Eric Clapton, I hear the song. That's his guitar up there that he used to play. Like, it really charged me up. So I started to love. So long story short, again, classic rock, I love. Obviously, hip-hop, R&B. I'm a huge R&B fan. I used to listen to, you know, Prince, Brian McKnight, Aaliyah, Tony before games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
I love it. I learn a lot about music doing these shows with TD, because it's like I would say my music, I like a lot of different things, but I'm not quite as into it. Like, I don't listen to music quite as often as a lot of people do. So I do learn a lot every time that we bring TD on.
I love music, you know, man.
Parker,
I love it.
Parker spins him back there.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have questions for TD, now is the time to get them in. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David is correcting us. It is not the Jets' sixth-round pick. It's the Ravens' sixth-round pick. So, even less of a move.
Okay, so it was a pick acquired from the Ravens.
So you're moving up like five spots in the seventh round into the sixth round, probably, if the Ravens end up going as deep in the playoffs as they look like.
Yeah, that cheapens it even more.
I guess now it might be a good time to ask Ravens-Chiefs this weekend. Big one. Both teams 1-2. Which team do you think can afford to lose that game more? Like, both those teams are expected to be Super Bowl contenders in the AFC, but 1-3 is not an easy hole to dig yourself out of.
I think the Chiefs could afford to win it more, because as you see right there, Lamar Jackson 1-5 against Mahomes. And the thing is, the Chiefs have been there and done that. They could always lean back on, yo, this is what we do.
We got three Super Bowls.
We got three Super Bowls. We'll get it together and figure it out. Whereas the Ravens are like, man, like, this is another year where we lost to Mahomes, man. He's 6-1 against us now. You know, so I think they need it, because their climb is a little bit steeper than the Chiefs.
The Ravens have also just had a brutal schedule to start the season. I mean, the Ravens having to play at the Bills, Lions on Monday Night Football, at the Chiefs in three of their first 4 weeks. I think a lot of teams would start 1-3 with that schedule. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will continue to take your questions for Teron Davenport. Make sure you get those in. You can text or call. Again, this can be football. If you want to talk baseball, TD and I will put away our depression and talk baseball. Please don't text us about baseball. 615-737-1025. Get your questions in for Teron Davenport. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan is the Packers versus the Cowboys at 7:20 p.m. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. We'll take a break. We will continue to talk with TD coming up on the other side. Get your questions in, 615-737-1025. Jay Klein, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Saturday's college football game of the week is Oregon versus Penn State at 6:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jay Klein, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, little Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Showing me the diversity of Teron Davenport's music.
And you know, small nugget about Freddie Mercury. I don't know if you knew this, but he had 36 teeth.
Really?
Yes. He had more than 32 teeth. I don't remember the exact number. And he didn't get it pulled, the extra ones, because somehow that helped him hit another note. And if you hear some of the notes that man has hit, woo. Him, Dave, I was telling you on the break, David Bowie. So I remember I watched the movie Labyrinth, and this was like 1983, 84. Yeah. And he was like the main guy over the little rascals who lived in the cave or whatever. And I remember watching that, and they played a song. I don't remember what the song was, but I was like, that's a dope song. And ever since then, I've been a David Bowie fan.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for someone with about the most diverse music taste you could find, I think TD might be your guy.
I might be the one.
Yeah.
You know, because I listen to Smashing Pumpkins, Suicidal Tendencies. Like, we go all over the place. Hell's Bells, everywhere, man. You never know what you're going to hear. You get in the car with me.
I love it. Great question from Justin from Greenbrier here as we do our weekly Talk to TD, your chance to get your questions in for Teron Davenport, 615-737-1025. Good comment in the YouTube chat. Not a question, but I did want to get to this. Top Tier says, people are overlooking Chig, and they're mistaken. He's been good with his opportunities, caught 12 of 16 targets for 120 yards, and he led the team in receiving on Sunday against the Colts. I actually think Chig has been one of the bright spots on this offense for the few that there have actually been.
Yeah, he has. He's been somewhat of a bright spot. And you look at, as Top Tier mentioned, 12 of 16 targets. Now, of course, one of them was a high and hot seam route that he got his hands on it. He should have caught it. It was on a third down, a very crucial third down. But here's the thing with Chig. And as I said in the group chat, like, it's only a matter of time till he has one of those catches and runs where you're like, how did he do that?
Right.
You know what I mean? You look at the Chiefs game where he had that one.
Yeah, the little screen.
And as I said in there, it's like Tecmo Bowl. Like, that might be before your time, but it used to be like you would, in Tecmo Bowl, like you would run with Bo Jackson or somebody like that. And like, no, it's like three guys tackling you, and all of a sudden they poof, 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 and they fly off of you, and you run for the touchdown. That's what Chig did, except for he got caught, you know, before he got to the end zone. But still, big run though.
Yes, I think if you're looking for bright spots on the offensive line, on the offensive line, it's Peter Skoronski. He's definitely been the bright spot. I think Cam Ward, as a rookie quarterback, has been a bright spot. Elijah Manner.
I'd
say Chig. Like, that's probably it on the offense.
Yeah, and DK's had his moments. Slowly sneaking in there. Pollard is the new Honda Accord.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's the we'll change it up. He's the Chevy Corsica.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The old car that is just always, it's never going to break down, and it's always going to get you where it got.
You shipped the Honda Accord down to Miami.
Yeah.
And now you got the Corsica.
Got the Corsica,
rolling in the back.
Chevy Cavalier, we'll call it that. You know, the car that more people will know.
Let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. James from Ashland City is on the line with a question. James, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, normally I'm talking to Teron in the afternoon, but I just happened to be in the car running errands, so I thought, what the heck? Let me give a call. As far as Teron, your musical taste, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, my taste is all over the place, from 60s R&B to 90s R&B to classic rock, man, to the best music ever, 90s alternative. I'm just like you, all over the place. But what I want to say, but first, before I ask the question, I just want to get a quick diatribe off my chest. This team spent lots of money invested in the offensive line this year, and I don't want to hear any excuses just because J.C. Latham went down with an injury. that all of a sudden now we can't block for our rookie quarterback, who I believe is going to be a great quarterback in this league if given the opportunity and given the pieces to be set up for success. To me, Teron, the history of this offensive line going downhill has all started when we got rid of Jack Conklin. And I think that was in 2018, if I'm wrong, correct me. But ever since then, every year we've gradually gotten worse and worse and worse, to the point we were just at our worst 2 years ago and last year. So my question to you is, with all the money that this organization has spent on the offensive line, where's the depth? And I'll hang up and listen. What's your answer to that? Is it, what's the possible solution? Have a nice day.
Thanks for the call, James.
Great call.
It's a great question, because we've talked so much about the investment on this offensive line, not even including the guys who are here right now. Like, you've got a first, a second, and a third round pick all from the last 5 years who are not on this team anymore.
Bingo.
So they've invested.
And that's where the issue is.
Right, and they can't seem to fix it. I understand no one wants to hear, well, J.C. Latham's out. But that is a big part of it, is that they've had to rotate people in at right tackle. Zeitler missed last week. But, yes, like Dan Moore and Lloyd Cushenberry, those guys were paid a lot of money to come in here and fix this thing, and they haven't been good enough right now.
Right tackle is reaching wide receiver level void for this organization, right? And you remember, like, they traded A.J. Brown, and it's like, yo, you finally got a receiver.
Yeah.
And he's gone. Jack Conklin. You finally got, like, you got bookends. And it was 2019, after the 2019 season, he left. And they've been reeling, trying to replace him. And it's like that right tackle position is just one where it's like, if you play that position, like, all superstitions.
Right.
Don't split any poles. You know what I mean? Don't drop the salt.
Luck on your side.
None of that. Because it's just been bad vibes, bad circumstance for anybody who plays that position.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how this keeps happening. Like, J.C. Latham's hurt, and you would hope that once he gets back, that right tackle position will be fixed. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been bad. I don't know if we've had this conversation about wide receivers, but do you know who would be the third best wide receiver the Titans have drafted since 2015?
Third best?
I had this conversation with Corey Curtis, and it's kind of amazing. The top two are A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. Those are the top two guys at wide receiver the Titans have drafted since they took Doriel Green Beckham in 2015. Do you know who would
Tajay
be
Spears?
Yes. Or Taywan Taylor. Those are your two options.
I said Tajay Spears.
Tajay Sharp. Yes, Tajay I knew Sharp. You were saying. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Wide receiver and right tackle. They can't figure it out.
Wow. Well, Alec Iermanner is trending towards getting past Tajay. Tajay Sharp had game, man. I used to love his game.
I liked him coming out of UMass. Yeah. Like, he was a good player. Mm-hmm. His most famous moment is introducing King Henry after after beating the Ravens in that divisional playoff.
That was funny. Yeah.
Justin from Smyrna asking, this is now two play callers for Cam Ward in his first season. Only three games in. If Brian Callahan gets fired, then you'd have a third one. Do we think that this could stunt his growth if they're unable to find some consistency with him?
Well, the thing, it is two play callers, but it's still the same scheme, right? So whether it's Brian Callahan saying, you know, whatever the play call
right.
would be, or Hardegree, it's still he's not learning a new scheme. Now, maybe a new sequence or style, but that changes from game to game anyway. You know what I mean? So I don't think this, what's going on now, will stun his growth. I do believe, because remember, Cam Ward is used to, you know, having to learn different schemes. You know, of course, he had the same scheme in Incarnate Word in his first year at Washington State, but there was change after that, and then another change after that. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. And after all, Cam Ward is a guy that was in the fifth grade, his dad told me. And his dad taught him the Houston Gamblers playbook, fifth grade, right? So he's not an elementary level, not he's not your typical level rookie quarterback. His understanding is a little different. So I'll say that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, that he is used to having different voices calling the plays for him. He's used to learning new systems. And again, if Brian Callahan keeps trending in this direction, he'll likely have to learn a new system next year. But the old, adage that Robbie Stanley keeps saying is stability for the sake of stability is stupid. It's like you can't just keep someone because you think it's good for Cam Ward to have stability.
Absolutely. Robbie Stanley is 100% right.
Yep.
You know, it's definition of insanity, right? So if a change is needed, then you got to make the change and then hope that that change will lead to the stability that you're going after.
Right. You hope that you can find the guy who can unlock Cam Ward and allow him to elevate the team around him. Right now, yes, the coaching's been bad, but you also have to realize that the talent on the roster isn't.
Yeah, it hasn't been good. And, you know, just to kind of – it just dropped into my mind when you talk about the depth at O-line real quick. Most teams don't have three good tackles. You know what I mean? So I understand the frustration. And, again, I'm not defending – what's going on? I'm just explaining it. If you look across the league, most teams, their third tackle is basically the level of Ali Udo or John Ajuku,
yeah.
Whereas it's a guy that you could plug in and play in a pinch, but you're not going to be banging the table about how happy you are doing so.
Titans fans got a little spoiled having LaJuan Conklin and then Dennis Kelly. Because yep. And even like David Questenberry was a good swing tackle to have. Like
Ty Sambrejo.
Right. They had some options, and now it's kind of getting back to the point. And tackle depth around the league is down. Like,
it's down.
It's hard to find good tackles anywhere, and we've seen that because the Titans have traded for Dennis Daly and signed Andre Dillard and everything else they've done to try and fix that right tackle position, and it just hasn't worked. Hopefully J.C. Latham getting healthy will fix that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Ben on the text line actually leads me right into where I wanted to go next. He says, people need to realize that hopefully 40 out of our current 53 guys are not on this team in the new stadium.
Yikes.
And that is where I wanted to go with this next segment is, the Titans are building to try and be good when the new stadium opens. Like, that is what they want, 2027, that this team is back to being a playoff contender. Who on this team are we confident is going to be part of that next core when this team gets good? We will go through it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 p.m. at Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse tomorrow as they celebrate the opening of their all-new rooftop dining area and bar. It's also a great place to go before or after Vanderbilt games. Next Man Up continues after this here on 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Having some fun on this Thursday. Was this a TD suggestion, or did Parker pull this one by himself?
It was a suggestion.
It was a suggestion. TD's
Encore, Cheryl Lynn. This is one of those, like, you just can't help but feel good, man.
It gets the mood going.
You just can't help but bounce to that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in on the conversation, you can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD with us for 30 more minutes on this Thursday. Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football going to be calling in at 11 a.m. So I teased it before the break that Ben on our text line said, people need to realize that hopefully 40 of our current 53 guys are not on this team in the new stadium. And that was exactly what I had planned for these final 30 minutes with TD, is the Titans are trying to rebuild this core. And we've gone through all the needs that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You need edge rushers. You need cornerbacks. You need wide receivers. You need offensive line help still. But who are we confident that is on this team right now is part of the next core? Let's start with the offense. I think Cam Ward is the obvious one. Cam Ward, if this team's going to be good again in 2027, Cam Ward is going to be its quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you're not moving on from him next year. I think Peter Skoronski's pretty fair. That dude's playing his way into a long extension. I think he's going to be the left guard for a while. I think it's safe to say J.C. Latham is part of the long-term plans. His injury and, that stuff, we'll see how it works out the rest of this year. Elik Iyemanner, I think I would also put in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else on the offensive side of the ball that you think you can say confidently is going to be part of this team in 2 years?
Mm-mm.
That's crazy. I mean, I understand the turnover in the NFL is high, but that's four.
Four guys. Look, Chimere Dike, I think so, but
right.
More on a special team side. But, I mean, he could develop into that third or fourth guy that you bring in situationally.
I think you hope Gunnar Helm. right? Like, you hope that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Gunner. Gunner Helm, for sure.
Are you saying for
Gunner
sure?
Gunner Helm is nice.
I like Gunner Helm.
Gunner is nice,
but
man.
Are we sure that he is tight end of the future for this team?
I think.
You think so?
At the very least, tight end, too.
Okay.
They would be wild to not have him on this roster in 2 years. Because remember, we're talking about a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is going to outperform his draft status.
I agree with that.
So let's make it 5. Gunner Helm for sure.
So we'll put Gunner Helm in there. But the rest of the offensive line, I think you'd make the guess. Maybe Dan Moore is still the left tackle in 2027. Maybe not.
That's one. I got to double check that contract.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's set up that they could get out of that. Actually, yeah, 2 years. So
heading into the new stadium, maybe they move on. And maybe that's where I understand Titans fans aren't going to be happy spending another high pick on a tackle. But maybe one of the next 2 drafts, you've got to spend a 2nd or 3rd round pick on a tackle and hope they can develop to be the successor to Dan Moore. Mm-hmm. There is an out after year 2, actually with 0 dead cap. So that's basically a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Of 2025, 2026, guaranteed money is done, and then you can cut him for nothing. So that's probably what's going to end up happening based on the way Dan Moore has played so far. Lloyd Cushenberry, I would say almost is certainly gone.
Yeah.
Could you put Jackson Slater in there? Not confidently. He hasn't played a snap in a real NFL game yet, but I think he may be a guy the Titans are viewing as part of that future offensive line.
I think he could be around. Yeah, Jackson Slater is like playing spades. Like, we got 5 and a possible. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of question marks. Like, I put Ward and Skoronski as the 2 guys 100% going to be, if this team's going to be good again in 2 or 3 years, those guys are going to be a part of it. Latham and Iamanner, I feel confident about. I'd say like 90%. And then everybody else, I would say, is 70% or less. Helm and DK would probably be higher on that. But there's not a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball right now.
You know, I will push back and say, I would say 100% the 5 guys we mentioned.
Really?
I would be very surprised if any of them are not on the roster.
Yeah, well, maybe not on the roster, but at like a key part of the team. Like, yeah. Do you think Gunner Helm is going to blossom that much to be like your starting tight end in 2 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
I'm not saying I don't think it's going to happen, but just like I don't know if we've seen enough yet.
We haven't seen enough, but we haven't seen enough in games.
Yeah.
But I've seen enough in practice and even joint practices to say that dude is going to be a good player.
I want to touch on the running back position because I would guess Tony Pollard's not here next year.
Yeah.
I think that it just kind of makes sense that the wear on the tires is getting thin, the contract. Tajay Spears, who knows what you're going to get out of him when he gets healthy, which he could be back next week, I guess.
He's been working.
His time on the IR is up. I would guess he's probably back for the Arizona game.
I would say just in watching him work, especially yesterday watching him work, I would be very surprised if he's not back
soon. Would be a nice boost where Julius Chestnut had a nice run on Sunday.
He
late
did.
In that game.
He did. Got, a little patience give, and bounce it outside.
Gotta give him credit.
Go ahead, Natron Means 2.0.
But you'll be happy to get Tajay Spears back.
Yeah.
I think I disagreed with Corey Curtis on this yesterday. I think the Titans are going to have to spend a pick on a running back next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably got to be one of your top 4-round picks on a running back. I mean, I know you can find the everybody says you can find a running back anywhere, but like, not every 7th-round pick turns into Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt where he can be your starting running back in week 1. Like, you've got to find somebody who can step in and be productive. I understand running back is a replaceable position, but unless you feel really good about Kalel Mullings taking a step next year, I think you got to go spend some draft capital or go get another free agent running back who could step in and be like the next Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I think at the very least, and I think Mullins is a guy that can be a part of a committee. But, I mean, that's the direction that this league is going. You don't really have too many base running backs, right? So I think – but when you get a good one, like, look at – you just saw – look at Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Look at what – right. Look at him. You know, Jonathan Taylor's just, they don't just come every year.
Right. They're not just sitting out there, but.
But that's the example of when you hit on it and you get a guy. Hey, look at Saquon. Look at Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, running backs are replaceable, this, that, and the third. But when you get a good one that's a game changer, it changes everything.
Right. And I'm not advocating spending your first round pick on a running back.
Right. This roster is not in a position to do that.
You have so many holes at premium positions. Your top pick has to be spent at edge, corner, wide receiver. Like that. Mm-hmm. Those are the three positions you should be looking at.
Yep.
But if you... I know picking running backs in the third round is a sore subject because of Darrington Evans and so far Tajay Spears, but maybe that's where you have to look to get somebody productive. There are some options out there in free agency. Like, is Travis Etienne going to go back to the Jags? Maybe he gets loose. Like, I wouldn't hate that as an addition. Breece Hall, I know he's taken a step back, but he's only 24. Maybe he's a guy you bring in. Like, mm-hmm. If you don't want to spend a draft pick, you're going to have to go get someone free agency, because I don't know if Tony Pollard has a whole nother year of being your workhorse in him after this year.
Shoot, yeah. Jeremy McNichols had a nice run. I'm not saying go get him, but he had a nice run for the Commanders last week.
The McWeapon. He's actually been pretty decent for them since Austin Eckler went down. So,
Isaiah Pacheco.
Right. If you want the guy...
I don't think he's going to be expensive.
No.
But you talk about running or playing like Rents do. Like, yeah. He plays like Rent is past due.
Yes.
Like,
he runs about as hard for somebody not moving that fast as I've ever seen. He's got a little bit of the Doug Martin muscle hamster going for him. Of just like, it looks like he's running in place at times. So, on the offensive side, the guys we are confident are part of the next core. Cam Ward, obviously. Peter Skoronski. J.C. Latham, Elik Iemanner, and you've got Gunnar Helm in there. Mm-hmm. I think that's about it.
I'm a pound of table for Gunnar Helm.
I like it.
I'm a pound of, look,
hey,
pound of table for Gunnar Helm.
You've seen way more of Gunnar Helm than I have. So
I like his game. They got to get him the ball more.
Yes.
You know. I mean, can we just talk a little bit about the sets?
Yeah.
11 personnel. That's their base. They use it so much. But the only other look that they give you is 12 personnel.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe 11, 12% of the time.
Maybe bringing Tajay Spears back will help that. You can go with some 21, and like that mixes things up. But I
think they will use some 21, yeah, especially in the pass game. You look at the screen game, like right. Randy Jordan caught a stray the other day, you know, when they met.
Yeah.
Everybody, like my timeline was anti-Randy Jordan for a second, but you put Spears in there, he's a very good screen executor.
That was funny when Brian Callahan just outed Randy Jordan as the one who draws up the screen or game plans the screens. It's like, man, those haven't worked out so far. We are having the conversation of who are we confident is part of the next core for the Titans when they start to improve again. I know it's hard to believe, but yes, this team will probably get good again in the next few years. That's just how the NFL works. It's built for you to get out of the cellar and back into playoff contention. We've got five on the offensive side. We move to the defensive side of the ball next. Who are we confident will be around when the Titans start to improve in 2027 is kind of the timeline that we're looking for. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football games. Head up there for a doubleheader of Jets, Dolphins, and Bengals, Broncos. Plus, ask about Circa's giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game coming up in October. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Wrapping up with TD.
Let's dance.
It was well done from Parker Kelly and TD on the music today.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have crushed it. Don't forget, Andrew Allegretta will be joining us coming up at 11 a.m. We'll talk some Vandy football. But as we wrap up here, TD, we are talking about guys on this team that we're confident are going to be part of the next core as this team tries to build up and get back into playoff contention. We went through the offense. We found five guys. Cam Ward, Peter Skoronski, J.C. Latham, Elik Iemanner, Gunnar Helm. On the defensive side, it's funny. I have Jarvis Brownlee written down. I haven't edited this since he got traded. I've had this on the grid all week trying to get to this, but there's been so much going on. So we delete that. On defense, who are you confident will be around in a couple years? Because I really don't have many names that pop into my mind of like, hey, that guy is a key pillar of what this defense is going to be when they get good again.
Kevin Winston Jr.
I have him written down, but we still haven't seen him play a snap of real NFL football.
Haven't seen him play a snap, but
that's I put him on there with a question mark. Femi, I think, is a guy that you hope is going to be part of that. We haven't seen enough from him yet as a second-round pick, but I do think they drafted him to be.
Yeah, those two, Kevin Winston Jr. and Femi.
T'Vondre Sweat?
No.
Yeah, and that's tough. It's tough because I think if you had asked anybody a month ago, the answer would have been easy yes.
I don't know that he's around next year.
Really?
Honestly.
That's shocking. I mean, to go from a guy who, in all regards, was supposed to be one of the, I would say, best four players on this defense this year, to saying he may not even be on the team next year.
So, with Rand and Anthony Robinson being gone, entering this offseason, I was really curious how it will work for T'Vondre Sweat. I said, you know what, Jeffrey Simmons is going to have to, but he's a fellow player. Like you right. can only ask him to do so much.
Yes.
I really thought that Sweat was going to work, as I said earlier, with Simmons in the offseason. You see how Simmons came back. I don't know that there's a very good mix. And I'm not saying that there's a disconnect, but I don't know that it's coming together.
Right.
Meshing. As far as Sweat with the new regime,
I just
put it that way. I do know that they're doing a lot. Chick Igiasi, who is kind of like an unsung hero over there, is a guy that's kind of spearheading the player development program that they're using, that they're implementing. And from what I understand, like, it's really good. It's going to have to be especially good for Sweat. And that's not to say that Sweat's an issue. I'm not saying that he's an issue. But I think when you have a guy that you have to, you know, pour resources into, it could get a little difficult. I'm not saying for sure he's not going to be here next year, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's not next year.
It's much bigger of a question mark than maybe we would have thought. So we got Winston. We got Oladejo, the two rookies who, again, you picked them in the top 100. You would hope that they're part of this team in the next couple of years.
I would say Marcus Harris. I think that he could be a – man, Marcus Harris is a solid corner. Now,
we're going to see more of him, I would guess, down the stretch.
Yeah, we'll probably see. He and Jalen Armour Davis, Daryl Baker. It's going to be interesting, that left corner. But, I mean, like you would say, Jeffrey Simmons, right?
That was my next question.
Who knows? Who knows? What if Dallas comes and they're like, hey.
We'll give you one of the Packers first.
We'll give you a second. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if that – or you look at, and they have an abundance of picks, and you know, Jeff lives and spends a lot of time in Dallas in the offseason. And then you look at the contract. Imani Hooker, I know he signed the deal, but it's a 3-year deal. So,
Roger McCreary, if they extend him.
See what you just said?
Like, I mean, they haven't extended him yet, but like, I would think that after trading away Jarvis Brownlee, you would hope that keeping your other good young corner is a priority, but who knows? He hasn't been extended yet. I think with Jeffrey Simmons, even if you don't trade him, I think you might get to a Derrick Henry type crossroads of, if this team's not very good this year, which it's trending that way, doesn't seem like they're going to be a playoff contender next year. Does Jeffrey Simmons get to the point of just like, hey, I need to get out of here? So as bad of a shape as the offense seems to be in, the defense, in the long term, there's just not a whole lot of pieces to build around right now.
Yeah, I mean, Cedric Gray is very intriguing. Like, he's outside of Ez Jenkins, like, that was my favorite linebacker, my second favorite linebacker in that class. But when you're – and Kaiser White, that dude has – he locates the football.
Right.
Right, but when you're giving Kaiser White an opportunity over, you know, your second-year player that you spent a fourth-round pick on – to see what he could do, well, anytime you're trying to see what something could do, that tells me you're not happy with what something you already have is doing. So,
it's a good point. I think the Titans are going to have to spend a lot of capital on the defense, and I know the offense is flashier. You want to bring in a highly picked wide receiver, and you got to get the offensive line fixed. But the guy that, if the Titans end up with a top five pick, which, again, right now I think they're slated to pick second or third. It's so early, and I hate talking.
Reuben Bain.
Yeah. That was – I think you might be in the spot of either trade down if there's a quarterback that somebody's willing to trade up for, mm-hmm. or take Reuben Bain, because that dude has been a monster through a month of the college football season.
Sick. He's sick.
I mean, he's a big dude with a lot of bend. Like, that is a guy who, if you put him as your top edge guy, Femi on the other side could end up being a better player because you have that guy, and it makes you feel a whole lot better about what you have in that group.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm not, like, again, I hate doing draft talk in September
yeah.
because the draft is 7 months away, and we still have 14 more Titans games to get through, but that dude is putting himself right at the top of draft boards, especially with what we've seen from Clemson's top guys. Haven't looked very good. Parker and Woods, who mm-hmm. were supposed to be top 10 picks, and all the quarterbacks have basically flamed out. So, anyway, the defense not looking strong for the future as the Titans look to rebuild this roster. I mean, we just went through it. Out of the 53 guys currently on this roster, the only guys we are confident, and confident is being used kind of loosely here, are going to be part of the next core is 7 players. And 4 of them are rookies.
Big yikes.
So 4 of them are rookies where it's not it's less that we've seen enough from them to believe, it's that we haven't seen enough from them not to believe, mm-hmm. right? Like Elik Iyemanner is the only one who's actually shown that he can play in this league. But like Helm, Oladejo, Winston, we're putting him in there because it's like, hey, you took them that high, you hope that they're going to turn out to be something. Not a great time for the Tennessee Titans. Mike Borgonzi, as he said when asked if this team could go win the Super Bowl, this roster needs a lot of work.
the laugh, the chuckle was like, I told you everything.
Yes, yes. So there you go, 7. That's who we think might be part of the Titans' next core. TD, now you got to get out of here. Thanks for coming in, and we'll be sure to do this again next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it, man. Looking forward to next week already.
Yes. Next Thursday, make sure you tune in. We'll have TD for the full show, and excited to have him back on. Always great stuff when TD comes on. Coming up next, Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football going to join us for his weekly visit. We'll talk about Vandy's 70-point win against Georgia State, and also get ready for this week's game against Utah State. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.